song is called Today I Sing the Blues. If you are a business owner, large or small, in this country, these days it seems like there are many reasons to sing the blues. It seems like it's getting harder and harder to run a business in this city, this state, this country. And a gentleman who has been a warrior in terms of fighting for businesses large and small, one of the most articulate advocates for the cause of entrepreneurism in this country, is Jay Noland. He is not just an entrepreneur himself. He's a syndicated business columnist for the Los Angeles Tribune, and he happens to be, believe it or not, a former professional baseball player. Jay, thanks so much for joining me on the radio and staying up late with us.
Hey, great to be here. Great to be here. I'm so excited to get an opportunity to speak to you and your audience.
Jay, for folks that may not be familiar with your story, how did you end up making the transition from baseball to business? I'm always so fascinated by people who have a great deal of success and experience in one field, and then are able to use that to build upon success in another. How did you make that transition?
Well, Frank, I was thinking about it while I was playing baseball, and going into the real world, I guess you would call it, because, playing a sport and getting paid for it, you kind of feel like you're in fantasy land. I'd always think, what am I going to do past the game? So I did things like getting my real estate license in the off season and, taking different courses, international business. But the real thing is, when I got out into the real world and had to start doing business, I told myself, just take the focus that you have and you had to become a professional athlete and put that into business. And I think, there's a lot of professional athletes, when their career is over, they kind of lose sight of what it took to get to become a professional athlete and transition to that, because of no one's really cheering you on. But if you can do that, I think you can really have a great shot at success, right?
Well, and you have a fascinating story in the business world as well. I happen to come across a column you wrote for the Los Angeles Tribune about how the subconscious mind relates to business. I've always been fascinated by the mind and the subconscious. How does the subconscious mind relate to business?
The great philosopher Aristotle said, if you can give me a child until they are 7 years of age, I will show you the adult. And that stuck with me when I heard that quote. I was wondering, what is he talking about? If you can just give me a child until they're 7 years of age. And I found out in studying scientifically that the brain mapping, our subconscious mind, really gets brain mapped during those first 7 years. We spend a lot of our time in what's called a theta brainwave state, where we're operating somewhere between 4 hertz to 7 hertz per second as far as the waves across your brain. That gives you an opportunity to really learn a lot. My child now, I have a son that's 6 years old. My wife is from South America, from Colombia, and my child runs around the house and he speaks English and Spanish. He just interacts in either language, fluently. It's no big problem for him. Now, for us as adults, it's harder to learn a language because we're moving at a higher brainwave state. And so when I started to study that, I said, you know what, maybe if you could create programs like, Napoleon Hill, he talks about auto-suggestion from Think and Grow Rich. And then I started getting into what's called brainwave entrainment, to where you can literally put on a set of headphones and start to retrain your brain and what was mapped on you from 0 to 7. So a lot of us have been through traumas. We've been through heartache. We had no ability to dictate what was said to us, what we ate, what we wear, or anything involving our environment from 0 to 7. And that just hit me, Frank, that what if we could go back and you can kind of program like a computer? And I found out that that's true. It can happen.
That's pretty interesting. Now, you've been pretty involved, not just in entrepreneurism, but in charity. And people can learn more about some of the projects that you've been involved with at back2backprojects.com. Tell me about some of the causes that you're interested in supporting and what goes on at back2backprojects.com.
Well, I've been supporting the orphanage school in Kenya, Africa, since December 2009. Where I've attached my companies to an orphanage school there, Dr. Amos Abuga from Texas. He came from Kenya, got his degree in pharmacy, became a doctor of pharmacy. His dad was a chief in Kenya, left him some land when he passed away. So Dr. Amos happened to be working with a company I was doing business with. He and I hit it off, and I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I've got these kids that I just keep sending money back to, and I've got these teachers. He said, but I'm struggling. And that was like in 2009, and I said, well, I investigated and I decided to take it on. So we've been supporting those kids now over 10 years.
That's terrific. If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Jay Noland. He is a serial entrepreneur and a business columnist for the Los Angeles Tribune. Jay, you are, as I indicated earlier, a tremendous advocate for free enterprise in this country. There have been a lot of accusations that that free enterprise is under attack. Some people point to labor regulations. Some people point to things like higher minimum wage. Some people point to proposals to raise corporate tax rates. What's your view of the nature of free enterprise in America today? And do you feel that free enterprise is under attack?
Big time. I think our greatest attack is from, you know, believe it or not, from one of our government agencies, the Federal Trade Commission. They've got a section that Congress had enacted, you know, several years ago called 13B, which authorizes the FTC to be able to get an injunction if they think business is not doing things the way that they've enacted the bill. But what they've done is they've stretched that language for injunction to go beyond that to monetary relief. And so the Supreme Court on April the 22nd, this 2021, came down with a 9-0 decision that says the Federal Trade Commission has been acting illegally for the past four decades in attacking businesses without any due process. They do ex parte hearings where the business owner has no idea that there's a hearing going on between the government agency and a judge, and a judge stamps after the government runs in there and says, hey, this business owner has got some accusations against them, and then allows you to have all your assets frozen, all your business taken away, and a receiver appointed by the court to come in and run your business before you even have your day in court.
All right,
and then not even have the opportunity to defend yourself.
Jay, this is so important, and I know you've had a longstanding rivalry and feud with the Federal Trade Commission, which we can talk about in a second. But this is something that before I started preparing for this interview, I have to confess, I knew nothing about, and I consider myself a pretty well-informed guy. So I think a lot of the audience may not know about this particular Supreme Court decision and what the potential ramifications are. So back in April, I want to explain this very clearly to folks. Back in April, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0, unanimously, left-wing justices, right-wing justices, people that can't agree on what day it is, they all agreed that the Federal Trade Commission does not have the authority under Section 13B, which you alluded to, of the Federal Trade Commission Act, to seek disgorgement or restitution from the defendants. The agency has increasingly relied on this authority to seek monetary penalties from defendants in antitrust cases, and the FTC's desire to obtain such monetary remedies has influenced the FTC to bring cases in federal districts instead of in administrative proceedings at the commission. Following the decision, the FTC chair, which we'll talk about in a second, urged Congress to provide the agency with this authority again. So now, as a result of this Supreme Court decision, the Federal Trade Commission can no longer rely on Section 13B to pursue restitution in consumer protection cases. Now, I am somebody that's always fought on the side of the consumer, that that, you know, is not for big business acting like Goliath against David. Why is this not a bad thing for consumers, what the Supreme Court decided in this case back in April?
This is really critical because there is an allowance that you have bad actors in business. The Congress gave Section 19, which gives the FTC the ability to seek redress in the form of restitution and disgorgement through Section 19, which involves due process. There are certain stages that you have to go through, which allows you to have due process as a business owner. And so as a consumer, you want businesses to be able to have the opportunity to go and address and correct. See, the Federal Trade Commission was set up to be able initially to be more of a guidance. And then they chose not to go that route.
And I
the
see.
Chief Justices said, they said, let's go enforcement route instead.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, as a result of this, and if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Jay Noland. He has been a critic of the Federal Trade Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission has been a big critic of him from time to time, which if this time we'll ask you about in a minute, Jay. But he's an entrepreneur. He is a nationally syndicated business columnist for the Los Angeles Tribune. They are asking, the Federal Trade Commission is asking Congress to give them this authority in a new law, and they have proposed a piece of legislation, H.R. 2668. What's wrong with H.R. 2668? Why should Congress not pass this?
It shouldn't pass it because if you're a business owner, you want due process. This means if you have a disgruntled employee, a disgruntled customer, which it happens from time to time, they can go and put together false accusations against a business owner, and the FTC, without any due process, can just come in and freeze your assets and take everything that you have owned. They have remedy through Section 19. They went out and chose to use 13B. For example, in 2017, they collected $5 billion, $5.2 billion from businesses, but only Frank paid back $269 million, 5%. And the question that the justices asked the FTC is what we should all be asking, where did that $5 billion go? That's the issue.
Mm.
And we found out they either are putting it in their coffers or it's going into the U.S. Treasury, and it's not going back to who they're claiming to be protecting. In 2016, it was even worse. It was $11 billion they collected, and they only gave back less than 1% or approximately 1%.
All right.
So where's that money going?
Now, the Federal Trade Commission has been pretty critical of you from time to time. They've alleged that you're an illegal pyramid scheme promoter. What's your response to that allegation?
I think it's just comedy because I had an ex-staff member, this is a live example, who was married with three children. He decided to have an affair with my executive assistant. He asked me, and she asked me, he could leave his wife, and she said, we want to live together. We want to, even if we have to sleep under a cardboard box. I fired my executive assistant. He happened to have an equity stake in the company, so I disciplined him, put him on a six-month suspension. He then ran to the Federal Trade Commission, got 20-some people together to file false accusations, which most of those we've already deposed those people with my attorneys and proved that they were lying. But they want money. So they really asked me for $8 million. For all that, that's all the products that we sold that people have received. It's been delivered. People have used the products, and they're saying, give us the $8 million for disgorgement so that we can go pay back to consumers who have already received their products. It's ridiculous. Nobody wants their money back. That's the thing. And our affiliates have turned around, and there's now over 1,000 of these people that they're claiming to protect. They went and filed an action against the FTC saying, we're the ones you should be protecting, but we're now wanting to sue you because you're damaging us. So it's kind of a unique scenario, Frank.
Well, we've been talking with Jay Noland. You can learn more about him at whoisjaynoland.com. That's J-A-Y-N-O-L-A-N-D. Jay, you've got to keep us posted on this because this piece of legislation seems to have ramifications for businesses around the country. And please keep us posted on this, and hopefully we can chat about it again in the future.
Yeah, I would love it. If everybody would just go to StopHouseBill2668.com, StopHouseBill2668.com, you can find out all the information you need to stop this bill that will absolutely put a chill and a freeze on all American business owners. We don't want that to happen. We want to continue to grow this country.
That is for sure. Thank you, Jay. You can also check out Jay, as I mentioned, at whoisjaynoland.com.